Hello everyone, thank you for joining us tonight. This is Judy Mario and this is Choices on Blog Talk Radio, a show about all of the choices that you have to make in your life and how to make the right ones. Tonight I have a very special guest, Mr. Mac Jackson. Mr. Jackson is a cybersecurity expert and he works with companies to mitigate the damage of identity theft. Mac informs people about the very latest and fastest growing crimes in America and what people and companies can do to protect themselves from these crimes. Thank you for being with us and for listening to our program tonight. And Mac, thank you for being here. We're so excited to hear what you have to say.
Thank you, Judy. It's nice to be here.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you here. And let's just start out by asking you, what is the fastest growing crime in America?
The fastest growing crime in America is identity theft.
And what is identity theft?
Sure, identity theft is when someone wrongfully obtains and uses another person's personal identifiable information in a way that involves fraud or deception, typically for economic gain.
So they try to steal who we are. How can they steal who I am? I am who I am.
That's correct.
How can they steal who I am?
Because they're not looking for just your social security number or your credit card. The identity thieves are looking for your profile. They're looking for your personal identifiable information, such as your name, your address, your mother's maiden name, where you went to high school, your weight, height. This information pertains to you, and they can use it to become you to obtain information and commit crimes.
Well, it ought to be pretty easy for them in this day and age to get that information because a lot of us just put it all right on Facebook for them.
You know, Judy, that is a very, very good, very, very good statement you made there. You know, we get upset when we find out that the government has our information and knows about us, but we willfully give our information to websites and to businesses all the time with promises of discounts and savings on purchases that we make. They ask us for more information about us personally, and we let them have it. That's what we need to be really cautious about, not to get information out to businesses on the Internet about us. I mean, keep our information private. That's probably the start that would stop all of this.
So there are more than, I think I'm hearing you say there's more than one type of identity theft. What types are there? What kinds of identity theft are there?
Sure. Identity theft is the main category, but underneath the types of identity theft, you have things from medical identity theft, where people are trying to obtain medical insurance fraud to get medical services, especially nowadays where we have to have medical insurance, and a lot of us can't afford it. Having medical identity of someone else to use to obtain services is very prevalent right now, and it happens a lot. So that's huge. It can be very dangerous and deadly because if someone has your medical identity and they have a procedure done, then later you go in to see the doctor, they can prescribe drugs to you that they thought that you were not allergic to, and you may end up in a allergic reaction and could suffer some fatal consequences from it. So that's huge, having medical identity theft. But we also have criminal identity theft, and that is when your personal information has been compromised, such as a driver's license in your name, and a crime is committed. There's been several cases of criminals that have stolen identities of individuals, committed a crime, and have been arrested and sent to jail. And when they're in the holding tank and being there in the jailhouse, they're saying that they're someone that they're not. They get out in the OR, and they never show up for court.
Oh.
Then the judge issues a bench warrant for that person that he thought who did the crime. And the person who did it, the cyber criminal or the criminal, walks away. Now they're looking for the person who they think it is. It happens all the time. And it really is an incredible problem.
So they might have that person's fingerprints with another person's name and identity. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
They may have that person's fingerprints because depending on certain crimes, they may look at the fingerprints, but others they may not. They may arrest that person, but the driver's license or the identity that the criminal has on them is not him. It's someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But they've changed the photo, the doctor, the document. They've had fictitious documents.
Mm-hmm.
Being someone else. A fake passport
mm-hmm.
allows them to get on board a plane that they shouldn't be getting on board, or drive a car that shouldn't be getting on board.
Wow. I heard that, I think it was on television, that somebody had died and the person was using their identity.
Yes. That's happened a lot, having the deceased identity being used by cyber criminals. And that's a growing problem, as well as children having their personal identities being stolen and used. And that group wouldn't find out anything until they're older, ready to go to college at 17 or so, and come and find out that their identity has been compromised by cyber criminals.
So the parent gets a child mm-hmm. a social security number.
Yes, when they're born.
Now why would they do that if the child's not ready to go to work yet?
Well, normally how the labor of I think the birth records database we have here in our country, when the child is born, they get a birth certificate. That birth certificate document has the social security number associated with it.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And with that social security number, the child has it, and then they go on for, nothing ever normally doesn't happen until they're ready to apply for work or apply for a student loan.
So like now they're 20 years old and it's time for them to go to college.
Yes.
And they go to apply for a credit card or a student loan and they say, no, you can't have it because you owe all this money for something that someone else has charged using this student's identity?
Yes. That identity could be stolen and sold on the black market by cyber criminals, and then the student can't acquire any credit because of it. That issue has to be fixed. And unfortunately, Judy, the last recession we had where the economy went down and people were losing their homes, families were losing their homes. And some families, Judy, even used their children's social security number to obtain power and utilities in the kids' name in order to get it turned on so their credit was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that they would have it fixed and it wouldn't be a problem for their child at the time, but if they get a situation where they can't afford to pay it, now their child is trying to
If they're in survival mode, they have to do what they have to do, or at least they think they have to do what they have to do.
Right.
And then
they end up being stuck and causing their children to have identity theft issues that they need to fix. The Federal Trade Commission reported this year that there's been an increase by 30% of young adults between 20 and 29 years old reported identity theft in their name. And this group have had their identities compromised at some time when they were younger. Let's add to another agency, the dreaded IRS. They are also reporting, and this is the time of the year where they have issued over $70 million in IRS refund checks to people who aren't who they say they are.
But they've issued them to people who aren't who they say they are?
That's correct. The IRS, yes. So they are on top of this, and that's one department that we don't want to mess with. The cyber criminals are that brazen to address the IRS and trying to get check refunds from people by using their personal identifiable information.
Wow.
If they get a hold of W-2, they can have it transferred and you file electronically, you have the check sent to a different address. And now you think it comes yours, but it's sent somewhere else, somebody else's.
Oh, amazing, amazing.
And also, Judy, did you know if you go to the post office and you get a change of address, you can change your address to somewhere else. And a lot of times they don't ask for your ID, but let's say they did ask for your ID and your ID is fake. Now, where you think your mail is going to is not being sent to your regular post box in your home, is being sent somewhere else. A big flaw in our system right now. It's been worked on, and they are the U.S. Post Office and the Postal Service. They're on top of it. They're aware of it, but those things happen. So sometimes a fake ID steals your personal identifiable information, goes to the mail of the U.S. Post Office, and has your mail transferred to another mailbox. Then they get credit cards, loans, redirected your signature, and you have no idea this is happening.
That is scary.
Yes, it is.
It's really scary. Now, I understand that recently there's been some major, major hack attacks in a lot of the big chain retailers. And How does that work? How does somebody go into the retailer's database somehow and get all that information about all of the people that have used their credit cards in the store?
Well, really, something really interesting happened last fall. You're speaking of the Target hack attack, as I call it, that happened between November 22nd and December 15th of last year, where Target lost about 110 million credit and debit card information from their shoppers. This happened when a third-party vendor of Target had a malware or virus on one of their laptops, and they worked on the Target headquarters, you know, to acquire information. They're just a regular vendor, and that virus transferred itself from the laptop over into Target servers, whereby it was created in order to attach itself to the point-of-sale systems throughout Target locations across the country, the point-of-sale systems. And its job was to read the magnetic strip on the back of the debit or credit cards. That's another problem. The strip is magnetic, and it should be digital, but we'll go into that one too a little later. To take that information and then transfer the credit card number and the PIN to the cyber hacker located anywhere in the world. They were able to acquire millions of business information. Now again, we're talking about business information, so we have a credit card number and a PIN. Also with Target, our customer information that is stored on Target's computer systems, that information is also sent to the cyber criminals. So they're building a database. It's called data mining, where you're designing and building a profile of the individual. And with that profile, it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to sell cyber criminals, not just a credit card. Target, since then, spent over $100 million to fight and go after this attack, and to thwart it and to stop it so it doesn't continue, and putting other measures into their systems currently to avoid any future attacks from cyber criminals. But you know, the hacker that did this duty, the Secret Service and the Federal Trade Commission has reported that it was a 17-year-old Russian national student who sold the software in the black market for about $2,000 to other hackers. So what happened was, when he sold this malware software to other hackers, they in turn attacked other retailers. So now there's other retailers like Michaels, you have even Neiman Marcus have been affected, Sears Roebuck, and even Sally Beauty Supply, another 25 million debit and credit card attacked from this malware. So all these companies now are on alert, and they have put in other procedures to protect their systems and servers to make sure this doesn't happen again. But it's like a cat and mouse game. You know, well, the good guys will fix the system and have a perimeter secure for cyber attacks. And then the programmers, they go through their educational bad guys, if you would, that are trained in how to break the system.
That is amazing. I have two questions for you. I want to make sure I don't forget them. My first question goes back to Target. You said they had a vendor that came in and plugged in his computer to their system, and there was a virus on his computer. Now, how would someone have known that that particular vendor was going to plug their system into Target's system so that that particular virus would be on that vendor's computer? I find that kind of questionable as to how a vendor would not know they had this virus and they just carried it into the store and put it in.
That's what's being investigated right now, to see if the vendor itself, and the first reports that I have seen, that the vendor, they were unaware of it as well, and they have a very secure breach policies against cyber attacks. So this malware that was put on the vendor's software, the vendor's computer, the vendor had no idea that was going to happen. And when they went into Target and attached to their network systems, they had passwords, you know, able to get through, so they were in it as a regular vendor. But the software itself, the malware, was smart enough to jump forward and go into the service. It reminds you of the old-fashioned stories of the Renaissance days of the Trojan horse.
Yeah.
In order to get into a kingdom, you have a horse disguised as something, and then they let the horse in, and then when they let it in, all the soldiers come out.
And yeah, and then they open the horse up, and all the soldiers run out.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what
yeah.
this is like. That's
amazing. But I think the Trojan Horse, they actually did that on purpose. And what I'm hearing
mm-hmm.
You say about this vendor is that this vendor didn't do it on purpose.
Nope.
So I just find it amazing how someone managed to get it onto a particular vendor's computer that was going into their retail store. Well, we may never know. But
yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, I heard you say that the credit cards have the magnetic strip
yes.
and they should be digital. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, Judy, if I were to give you a song, one of your favorite pieces of music, and I gave this piece of music to you today, and it was on a cassette tape. And I say, Judy, this is a great piece of music. Go ahead and listen to this. You look at me with this cassette tape and say, I can't play this. This is old technology. So I said, okay, Judy, here is a 45 record. We don't use that technology anymore. It's old technology. Well, our cards that we use for electronic commerce on a daily basis still use that old technology.
Mm-hmm.
On the back of our credit cards is a magnetic strip. Same magnetic strip we used for the last 50 years. That technology needs to change. And a way to do that is what is being done right now in Europe, and it's called the European system. PIN and chip, meaning that there's an electronic chip on the credit card. So when you enter your PIN at the register or the point of sale terminal,
mm-hmm.
it is verified from the chip versus going through the network system and exposing itself to viruses and cyber attacks. Right now it's used in Europe, and the European Union is reporting that cyber attacks are on the downslide because of technologies like PIN chip. So the question is, why don't we have it here in the U.S.? Seems like we're the first to invent things, but other countries use it before we do things. We are converting our retailers across the country here in the U.S. to PIN and chip technology, and there is a mandate and regulation by the PCI, IPCI and state and local government, and a federal level too, that all retailers should have the PIN and chip technology implemented by October 2015. And you can notice that now if you go to retailers
yeah.
in the store, you'll see a little slot under the bottom of the little small point of sale machine,
mm-hmm.
and that slot is what's going to be used for the PIN and chip. You'll just slide the card into the slot versus swiping on the side
uh-huh.
of it. There's a slot underneath it where you're PIN and chip. So it gives it a safer way, it's more secure, not 100% or bulletproof, but it is the safest thing we have so far.
Well, that's certainly good to know that we're headed in the right direction.
Yes, we are.
Yes. Listeners, this is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Choices with Blog Talk Radio, a show about the choices that each and every one of us have to make in life. And if you're participating in this program today, and you want to contact me or you have a question for Matt, certainly you can reach me at judy@judymario.com and let me know what you would like to hear about on this show. Our show is for you. It's about the choices that each and every one of us have to make in life, and we want to make sure that we cover the kinds of material that you would like to hear, things like we're doing today where we're talking about how you can protect yourself from identity theft. Also, subjects on self-esteem and communication and listening and visualization and how to overcome cancer. We have all kinds of subjects on this show all about the different choices that we make in life. Go on over to judymario.com and sign up for my newsletter as well. I send out a free newsletter once a month. Would love to send it to you. So sign up there. And when you do sign up, you'll receive a download of my audio entitled Realize Who You Are, which tells you about you and how you got to be the wonderful person that you are right now. Also, while you're there at that website, you might like to sign up for Choices Magazine. Our magazine comes out 4 times a year. It is a motivational, powerful, positive magazine that has incredible articles in it by some of the best motivational speakers, writers, and experts in the country, including Mr. Matt Jackson, who's here with us today. He has some very, very good articles in our magazine that you might like to read as well. And that is free of charge, so you go to judy@judymario.com or you write to me, Judy, at judymorio.com, or you go to judymorio.com and you can sign up for the newsletter and or for Choices Magazine. Mac, I am so glad that you're here and that you're talking to us about the subject of identity theft, because it's something that I believe is on all of our minds today, the possibility that it might happen to us. And I know several people it has happened to, and it's been a nightmare for them to get their credit straightened back out. Tell us a little bit about this thing we've been hearing about lately, the heartbleed bug. What is it? What is that about? And do we have to worry about that?
Yes, it's definitely a worry. The heartbleed bug.
I have so much trouble with that word, a heartbleed bug.
Heartbleed bug.
Yes.
This particular bug is a coding problem on websites. It's not a virus or a hack attack. It's just a coding problem within the secured processes within websites that are created or used by different companies on the internet. Unfortunately, there's over 500,000 companies that have this particular secured SSL on their website. And what this means is, if you look at the upper left-hand corner of your address bar when you go to a website, you should see the letters HTTP, which is normally what you see when you're surfing the web or going to a website. But when you're ready to purchase something or enter your personal information on a website, you'll notice a little change to HTTPS. The S gives it that secure mechanism, telling the website that the information is about to be entered should be securely encrypted between point A to point B, and point B being the website server. Well, this coding problem in the secured SSL of the web browsers had a error that has now been corrected. But because there was an error there, several websites have become vulnerable to cyber attacks. So it is recommended that the individuals reset their password and their user ID when they're going to the sites. But unfortunately, it's hard to tell if the website that you're on has changed it or not. So you should either contact your website to make sure that they are now secured from the heartbleed virus, or there are programs you can use. Matter of fact, there's one I can recommend called LastPass.com.
LastPass.com?
Yes. Mm-hmm. What it does, it creates and keeps and maintains your user ID and password securely on your machine, and it can recreate and generate new passwords for you, so you don't have to remember them anymore. That's LastPass.com. It's a good program to use. You only have to remember one user ID, one password. It can remember hundreds of thousands of passwords for you and change them for you. And you should have an encrypted password, not your cat's name or your dog's name, or your sports team, that is. It should be something that it is, let's just say, cyberway or geeky way, a geeky password, upper and lowercase letters, special characters, all of that. It's hard for us to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Programs like LastPass will remember it for you, so you don't have to have a book or a piece of paper before you get into your computer. You'll have this program.
That sounds like something that would be quite helpful. But in the meantime, if we're going to put in our information, you're saying that we should look up there in the upper left-hand corner and make sure that website has an HTTPS.
Correct.
Right, and otherwise we should not put in our information.
Correct. I have seen that happen, and several friends of mine and even medical companies and doctors have been to their websites. They're asking you to set up an appointment with them, and they're asking for your insurance card information and your insurance number, and I'm noticing that they didn't have the HTTPS for secure websites. So I contact them and let them know that, you know, they shut that website down. Like within 24 hours, our website was shut down because
they should have
kept the law.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yes.
Well, we're getting very close to the end of the show, and I know that you have about 20 to 30 different ways that you say that we can protect ourselves from identity theft.
Yes.
Could we, in the next 3 minutes or so, get you just to share a couple of those ways with us?
I can. And one of the first ways is make sure that when you go to a website and you're about to purchase something or enter some personal information about yourself, make sure it is a secure website by checking the URL in the address bar and making sure you see the HTTPS, colon, in the name of the website. before you enter any personal information. That's the first one. The second one I will give you is Wi-Fi hotspots that are located in coffee shops and hotels and other places of business, giving you a free way to attach onto the internet. These systems aren't as secure as your home because you do have a password or a passphrase that not so will allow people to jump onto the internet. These coffee shops and hotels do not have that. So a way to protect yourselves is make sure that you have a software program on your electronic device. And that electronic device can be your laptop, your cell phone, your iPad, your tablet. Make sure you have a personal private network, a VPN. Virtual private network.
That's not the same thing as your own personal hotspot, right?
If you have your own personal hotspot, which is different than the free Wi-Fi, you are protected because now the person, anyone who wants to access your personal hotspot has to know your user ID and your password. And if you notice, when you go to these free ones, you're not asked that.
No.
You just click and you're there. You're online. And that means everybody is sharing that same protocol or access point to the internet. Meaning if everybody is sharing it, then you have a possibility of cyber criminals that are also there to be sharing it and can acquire your information. So I would definitely recommend having a secured system. And the way to do that, there's one I would recommend, and it's called Hotspot Shield. That's hotspotshield.com. And programs like this is just one of them. You can find other ones on the internet as well. Some of them are free, and some of them there is a small fee to pay. But it's definitely worth it, and it's a small fee, and it will protect your machine, your computer, and your electronic device while you're on these free hotspots.
So at hotspotshield.com, we can acquire a virtual private network. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Absolutely. That's perfect.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. So that protects your machine from cyber hackers that are trying to obtain your personal identifiable information. The other piece of advice I'll give you is to install an app on your phone or electronic device from your financial institution. In other words, check your checking account, your bank accounts on a daily basis. It takes a couple of seconds. We do that anyway when we have our smartphones. We check our email, we on social media to see who's tweeting us and sending us text messages. We can do that with our bank. And here's the reason why. Check for suspicious transactions within your bank for checking accounts from your financial institutions. If you see anything that's smaller than 10 cents or under a dollar that you do not understand or suspicious, contact the financial institution and get those removed immediately from your account because it's not something that you wish to be a part of. Not saying that it is a cyber attack or a hack, but it is suspicious and it should be looked into.
Wonderful. Great advice. Max, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been valuable information. I'm sure my listeners appreciate it as much as I do. I'm going to go and do some things, make some changes in my life based on the things I've heard you say today. How can someone get a hold of you if they would like to talk to you about having you come speak to their organization, or they would like to know more about how they can hire you to help them protect their identity?
Yes, you can find information about my company on the website at macjacksonjr.com, macjacksonjr.com. And what I do is I talk to individuals and organizations about how to mitigate the damages of identity theft and fraud by training your employees to look for suspicious activities in their day-to-day handling of customers' personal information and making sure that it is secure and locked down, because businesses now are going to be required to protect our personal data and make sure that cyber criminals can get a hold of it.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much for being here. This is Judy Morio, and listeners, thank you for listening in today. I hope that the information that Matt shared with us was as valuable to you as it was to me in making the right choices for how to protect our identity. And I'm going to say goodnight now, and I just want you to remember, always, always remember, you are more than enough.